Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. United Methodist Church this morning. A very special welcome to each one of you, and especially to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you do feel welcome here at Main Street and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you'll give us your address and your phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. You do not want to miss the Wednesday night gathering this Wednesday night. The program will be provided by our own Out Loud Praise team, so please make plans to attend that. The meal starts at 5:15, program at 6 o'clock. If you do plan to attend the meal, please make reservations by filling out one of the cards in the pew rack or by calling the church office to let them know that you will be there. Also, next Sunday, immediately following the 11 o'clock service, will be the mission fundraiser lunch. There should be an insert in your bulletin describing that. There will be a silent auction and lunch. The silent auction will actually begin this Wednesday night during the gathering, and then will continue Sunday morning with the auction closing at 12:45. Tickets for that are $6 apiece, and if you would like to purchase a ticket, someone will be present just outside the doors here to my left immediately following the service this morning for you to purchase tickets for the fundraiser next Sunday immediately following the 11 o'clock service. And then that evening at 6 o'clock, we will have our youth talent show, which is a talent show to raise funds for Salkehatchee. We are in need of talents. I know that there are a lot of hidden talents out there, and I know that you want to reveal those talents next Sunday evening. So if you have a talent that you would like to share with the congregation, please contact Jessica and let her know that. If you're not willing to get up in front of the congregation and share your talents, I know that many of you have talents of cooking, so we need baked goods to sell during the auction. If you would rather just bake goods for serving during the auction, they will be serving brownies and pound cakes, so you can bake brownies or pound cakes for them to serve during the auction. So if you're interested in any one of those, if you would please contact Jessica and let her know that. Beginning Wednesday night, and I know the bulletin said that it would be there today, but beginning Wednesday night there will be boxes just outside the sanctuary here for the members of our confirmation class. There are 14 members of that class, and we would like for you to show that you are supporting them by dropping into those boxes a note or some small token of encouragement, favorite scriptures, just whatever you can think of to show them that you are thinking about them as they are going through this process of confirmation. They will be there beginning Wednesday night at the gathering, and then we'll be there next Sunday also. Also, the youth are reminded of their program tonight at 6 o'clock, so youth, please be present for that tonight. Also, there will be a District Methodist Men's Rally this afternoon beginning at 3 o'clock at the Epworth Camp Meeting on Epworth Road. The worship program begins at 3 o'clock. We'll go from 3 to 5 o'clock, preaching, testimony, and worship. And then following that, at 5 o'clock, will be a pig picking. Cost is $5 per person, and we hope that many men will be present for that this afternoon at the Epworth Camp Meeting grounds. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
If you are able, please stand for the call to worship. O come, let us worship the Lord, our God. O come, let us worship the Lord, our God. O come, let us worship the Lord, our God. O come, let us worship the Lord, our God.
Thank you.
ask you to join me in our invocation as found in your bulletin. O God, O Christ, O Holy Spirit, you have promised your abiding presence among your people. Lord Jesus, you have said, where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be there. Holy Spirit, intercede on our behalf. We claim your presence. Open our hearts and minds to receive all you desire to give as we unite in your presence now. Amen. As we come before God in our time of prayer, I'd like to lift up just a few special concerns. One is Jenna Britt's mother did pass away, Vicki Weed. That visitation will be tonight at Blith from 7 until 9, and the service will be at the Blith Chapel tomorrow morning at 11. Also, we've been given the notice that John Reed, Patty Nichols' father, is in the hospital in Tennessee. Roseanne Jones will be having a procedure this next week. We need to be in prayer for her. And also Hubert Starling, Albert Gambrell, and the family of Bill Baxter, who passed away last week, and Pauline Wilson, Judy Connell's mother, who is not doing well in the past week as well. Let us be in prayer for these concerns, for these families, and with our own concerns, our own thanksgivings, our own prayers for guidance. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, eternal friend and lover of my soul, we thank you for the warmth of knowing that you know us inside and out and love us still. And for your great love and forgiveness and healing of our wounded hearts, we give you thanks. As a true friend, you travel with us from mountaintop to dark valley below. We feel your nearness when we allow your love and grace to flow through us. We feel the cold chill when we turn away in bitterness, selfishness, and hate. We feel your encouragement when we are the ones who must step up and step out in faith. Help us build up a community of faith and compassion here, a community of goodwill and warmth within this church. Help us build up all the good things that we have taken from you so that we can give them out to others in your name. Lead us outward with our faith and not confuse your love as a personal and private possession for ourselves alone, but given to share in your name. Hand in hand we gather, heart to heart we pray for one another, and yet some walls remain. Walls and distinctions of the world keep us from knowing and sharing and befriending others as you have befriended us in Jesus Christ. In Christ we know that we are not alone. You are with us. Let those who visit here know the same warmth through us. Lead us to share our faith and invitation to all we know, and let our love be kept not a secret. Let our love be kept not private. Let our witness and invitation be genuine and public, here and at home and at work and wherever we go. Lord, now hear the prayers of our hearts for this world and what we have made of it, for the leaders of the nations of this world, and for the families represented here, and their concerns and their struggles. Lord, hear now the private prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite the children down front for the children's message today with Lisa Smith. Thank you.
can move in. I have some visual aids this morning. You might want to get a little bit closer where you can see. And boy, am I glad to see you. Because you know what? I need some help. And by the way, if you have collection, Marissa is going to pass that around. I've got a problem. Is anybody here good with directions? You know, you're good at telling people where to go, how to get there, how long it's going to take, yada, 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 yada. Okay, good. Well, I'm really glad. All right, great. Because I'm trying to get to heaven. And I have gotten my compass out. That's the first thing you see. Got my compass out. And, you know, I'm not really sure the compass is going to do it. Well, I tried the next thing, and the next thing was, you know, I went to MapQuest. You guys know I went to the internet. You know what MapQuest is? Went to the internet, typed in heaven. Guess what? No directions. These are just directions that I just pulled off the internet. These are not the directions to heaven. So I'm guessing that compass on this equation plus directions, map, does not equal eternal life in heaven. Oh dear, what am I going to do now? Who's got an idea? So how am I going to get to heaven? I can't find the way. You got an idea? You want to share?
You could die.
Yeah. I could. I will. Someday. I'm thinking something I might be able to do now, before that happens. Can you think of anything else I might do? She's speechless now. Anybody? Okay, got another idea. Say that one more time where everybody can hear you.
Believe in God.
I can believe in God. Ah, what a great idea. Well, let me see here. Let's see. So we've got in this second little math equation, we've got, well, you tell me, what's the first part of the equation? Jesus plus, okay, now this is a common street sign. Have you ever been on a street, especially in Charleston? You've seen one of those, yes. And what does it mean when you see one?
It means that you can only go one way.
That is so profound and so deep. And you are exactly right. There is only one way to get to heaven, to eternal life. Look what that equal sign equals eternal life in heaven. Now, the Bible says in John 14:6, I want my readers, all my good readers, to sit up nice and tall and in your very best read aloud voice. I would like for you to read this with me. Ready? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. That means chapter 14:6. So there's a very important sentence I want you to repeat after me. And this is one I remember learning when I was a little girl at this very church. I want you to repeat after me and take this with you today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Good. So we've got two equations here. Let's review. It's just going to be a test on this. We've got compass plus map does not equal eternal life in heaven. Let's see if we can say the right equation. Ready? Jesus plus one way equals eternal life in heaven. Which one do you think is the right equation? The first one or the second one? Oh, you're so smart. Very good. Let's have a prayer. Close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for giving us clear directions on how to live our lives so that we may have eternal life in heaven with you. Help us to remember that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Now let us greet one another in the love and grace of Christ. Let us pass the peace.
Testament reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 17, 22 through 31. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious, for as I was walking along, I saw your many altars. And one of them had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. You have been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need there is. From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose in all of this was that nations should seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, and as one of your own poets say, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's former ignorance about these things, but now he commands everyone everywhere to turn away from idols and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he was appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 22. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid and don't worry. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you're asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ also suffered when he died for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners, and he might bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life and in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood, and this is a picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God from a clean conscience. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers are bowing before him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we approach the offering, I want to make an announcement that our fund we use to help folks who are being evicted or who need life-saving medical assistance, a little bit of money that we keep back here to help folks with, we've run out of that. We have two folks on hold waiting to see if we get any money today, and we might be able to help them tomorrow. So we will need about $300. And I'm of the belief that I'll give the congregation the opportunity to give, and if you feel led to give, then you will. And if you are able, I encourage you to do so. Let us worship through our gifts, offerings, and tithes.
Amen.
gospel reading this morning comes from the familiar gospel of chapter of John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Hear now God's word. And Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask that my microphone be turned up just a little bit to save my voice. Thank you. I've used this illustration before, but it's a haunting illustration, and I do like it. It's in Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town. There's a moving sequence in which the dead, yes, it's the dead, are sitting in chairs in the cemetery, all different ages. And a narrator tells the stories about these dead people sitting in the chairs, when they died and how they died and who they left behind. And then the narrator walks to the center stage and says to the audience, that's you. He says, "Now there are some things we all know. We all know that something is eternal. And it ain't earth, and it ain't even the stars. Everybody knows in their bones that something is eternal. There's something way down deep that's eternal about every human being. They're waiting. They're waiting for something they feel is coming." The New Testament answers the question of what is it that everyone knows exists. What everyone is waiting on is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who brought that new life and new eternal reality of God into our dark and dusty world. The disciples in this reading today seem to still be waiting, and Jesus trying to explain that they need wait no more, says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The waiting is over. I am here." In our day, there's sort of a new censorship which forbids absolutist statements, even if they are ultimately true. We just aren't supposed to say so. And I think, though it is safe to say and should be said, that mutually exclusive and contradictory propositions about God cannot all be true. For example, and this is a bit off subject, but the command to love your enemies cannot ever be made equal to the command to hunt down and kill your enemies. But that's a subject for another day. In perspective about other faiths, and this begs that question, C.S. Lewis said, "I couldn't believe that 999 religions were completely false and the remaining one true." Similarly, he said, "We are not pronouncing all other religions to be totally false, but rather saying that in Christ, whatever is true in all religions is consummated and perfected." And when you study the Gospels in their totality, you come up with not the small statement that Jesus' teachings were ultimate, but that his very life and essence and person were ultimate beyond our ability to comprehend. Jesus was a great deal more than just right or true or the proper way to this or that. He was life and truth and the way to understand, comprehend, and arrive in the embrace of the eternal God. This is much more than a divine argument or my religious teacher is better than yours. This is Jesus jumping beyond all categories and all categorization. Jesus was the Word of God, the essence of God, lived out, fleshed out, present, and come to us himself to bring us God and to make a door, a way, and to remove the walls and in a sense create a window to the very mind of God. And so I would not diminish this text by making it about comparative religion. It isn't. It is about Jesus' answer to Philip. When you have seen Jesus, he is saying, you have seen the Father. The preparation of a place for spiritual life beyond this life is interesting in this text, and we do read it at almost every funeral, but it is entirely beside the point. There is something and someone who does last forever, but that something or someone does not come from this world. Nothing in this world lasts forever. Now, that's contrary to every love song and every love poem you've ever read, but there is nothing here that last forever. And I think it is meant to be wry humor in W.H. Auden's short little love poem. He said this, "He was my north, my south, my east, my west, my working week and my Sunday rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought love would last forever. I was wrong. What does last forever? God. Jesus was telling them, "It's me, Thomas." He was not just a teacher. He was God come to us, the author of all wisdom. "You've asked me where I am going, Thomas. I am going to where I came from, to a realm outside of this created order. It's me, Philip. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And as I reveal the Father, you too can reveal the Father when the Spirit comes and enables you to do things you cannot now imagine, like love your enemies and see yourself connected to all creation and do what is right in spite of fear or cost or threat. You will be able to live much as I have lived before you. You will know that life is more than things of dust and rust and decay. I'm not here to merely teach. I have come to empower and to change you," says Jesus, "to incorporate you into a new reality called the kingdom of God. Let's have none of that nonsense of what is the way. I am. Look at my life and pray for the power to believe and do as I have done. Let us have none of the nonsense of show me the Father. You have seen the Father in me. Now by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you too can live as I have lived, revealing the Father in your life. And the death of your body will not end the relationship we have. In ways you cannot comprehend, your life with me will continue forever. Just believe it. You cannot fathom it now. Just believe it. But for now, you will live differently than ever before. You will live as I have lived before you by the power of God's Spirit within. When in Christ, God dealt with the estrangement, the separating power of sin, and brought a new reality, a reality which is spoken of in Galatians 3:28, a reality that does away with the traditional divisions of race and class and sex, and ushered in a community of equals under Christ. And so the new reality is not primarily about a room in heaven when we die, though I do believe there is some place prepared. The new reality here and now means that changed by our relationship to God in Christ, the slave is my brother, the widow is my sister, the orphan is my concern, and the stranger beaten in the ditch is an opportunity for me to show compassion and to prove my faith. It is God's declared will to welcome the stranger in our midst, just as we were strangers and welcomed by him. And we've all heard that parable, the judgment parable in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. But have we really heard it? It says to me that our attitude of acceptance and rejection of the stranger mirrors our attitude of acceptance and rejection of Christ. Don't worry about how you've always done it. Don't worry about ritual and religion and worldly and cultural ways. Instead, open your heart to God, and God will open your heart to others. My notes say at that point someone would say amen, but it didn't happen. Open your heart to God, and God will open your heart to others. I'm leading the witness. God will change you. And in the light of all that, I want you to listen to this scripture. And it's an Old Testament scripture from Deuteronomy, but it says, "Circumcise your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and does not take bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And that God was in Christ, we say, making peace by the blood of his cross. It is to make the gospel too small a thing to make it merely about, as some people say, pie in the sky when you die. That may be true, but it is secondary. For here and now, our faith is a way, not a destination, a way. And I believe that our destination is to be with God, but what that looks like is inexplicable. It is unfathomable. It is unutterably different from here. As far as here and now, we are on the way, Jesus' way, and Jesus is the way, and we are to follow him as God's Word, God's creative Word made flesh, revealed for all to see. And Jesus is all of God, I think, that our tiny minds can comprehend. And are there other bits of God's truth in other religions? Certainly, I think so. But the most we can know of God, the one who is, we know from knowing the character and the teachings and the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation in the making, right here, right now. I heard a man say once that the importance of the resurrection is that it gives evidence of survival after death. I don't think so. The importance of the resurrection is that it gives evidence that Jesus was no mere man. And so his promises can be depended upon and his teaching can be trusted. C.S. Lewis put it better.
Lewis believes that the resurrection shows that a totally new mode of being has arisen in the universe. It is very clear, he says, to get the story clear, we need to know what to make of that, how to respond to that. Jesus said, I am rebirth. I am life. Feed upon me. Take life from me. I am your food. And finally, do not be afraid. I have overcome the whole universe. That is the bigger point. There was a man born among these Jews who claimed to be, or to be the son of, or to be the one with, the something which is at once the haunter of nature and the giver of natural law. And this claim is so shocking, a paradox, and even a horror, which we may easily be lulled into taken lightly. Only two views of this man are possible. Either he was a raving lunatic of an unusually abominable type, or else he was and is precisely what he said. And what he said was, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And he forgave sins, which sounds very nice until you start to think, who can do that? Who else can actually forgive sins except God alone? And these two thoughts are tied together. Again, I lean upon the wisdom and the words of C.S. Lewis. He said, there is no halfway house and there is no parallel in other religions. If you had gone to Buddha and said, are you the son of Brahma? He would have said, my son, you are still in the veil of illusion. If you had gone to Socrates and said, are you Zeus? He would have laughed at you. If you had gone to Muhammad and asked, are you Allah? He would first have rent his garment and then cut off your head. If you had asked Confucius, are you heaven? I think he would probably have replied, remarks which are not in accordance with nature are in bad taste. The idea of a great moral teacher saying what Christ said is out of the question. In my opinion, the only person who can say that sort of thing is either God or a complete lunatic suffering from the form of delusion which undermines the whole mind of a man. If you think you are a poached egg when you are not looking for a piece of toast to suit you, you may be sane. But if you think you are God, there is no chance for you. We may note in passing that he was never regarded as a mere mortal teacher. He did not produce that effect on any of the people he actually met. He produced mainly three effects: hatred, terror, adoration. There was no trace of people expressing mild approval. The things he says are very different from what any other teacher has said. Others say this is the truth about the universe. This is the way you ought to go. He says, I am the truth and the way and the life. He says, no man can reach absolute reality except through me. Try to retain your own life and you will be inevitably ruined. Give yourself away and you will be saved. He says, if you are ashamed of me, if when you hear this call, you turn the other way, I also will look the other way when I come again as God without disguise. And if you put yourself first, you will be last. Come to me, everyone who is carrying a heavy load, I will set that right. Your sins are wiped out, I can do that. I am rebirth, I am life. Feed upon me. And finally, do not be afraid. I have overcome the whole universe. In the play, Man of La Mancha, the main character, Don Quixote, he's been accused of being insane. And he replies, a wonderful quote. He says, the greatest madness of all is to accept things as they are and not as they ought to be. We have a sense that something is eternal and a sense that there is a particular way things ought to be. Jesus is that way, that truth, and that life as it ought to be. And the one who is eternal, hitch your life to him, he will change you and he will land you in God's eternal embrace. In the meantime, you will become different and more like him, which was God's plan, I believe, all along. Let me finish with a poem. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. He did not say, I shall tell you the way so we can learn about it, or I shall show you the way so we can seek it. Jesus said, I am the way, so we can find it when we come to him. He did not say, I shall tell you the truth so we can be informed, or I shall show you the truth so we can be enlightened. He said, I am the truth, so we can have it when we come to know him. He did not say, I shall tell you of the life so we can be aware of it, or I shall show you the life so we can desire it. Jesus said, I am the life, so we can live it when we come to life in him. Amen. Receive this blessing, a blessing of the full knowledge of the great love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the presence and the power and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.